the Israeli regime army, border police, and the Zionist regime police officers pretending to be Palestinians. Abdallah submitted a complaint to the Zionist regime attorney general and the chairman of the police investigation department on June 7th. In their letter, Abdallah wrote, "Police officers led the detainees to a room located on the left side of the entrance corridor to the station, forcing them to sit on the floor handcuffed, to lower their heads towards the floor, and began to beat them on all parts of their bodies, using kicks and clubs, slamming their heads against walls or doors and more. Officers wounded the detainees, terrorized them, and whomever dared to lift his head upwards risked more by beatings by officers. According to the affidavits, the floor of the room was covered in blood from the beatings. Under the Zionist regime law, authorities must respond to the letter within 45 days. By Abdallah, attorney and co-author of the complaint, Wassam Sharaf, who told me in press that Abdallah has not received a response from the Attorney General or Police Investigation Department. Abdallah did receive a response from Nazareth Chief of Police, stating that he will cooperate if there is an investigation and will take the appropriate disciplinary actions. What happened inside the police station in Nazareth amounts to torture and ill-treatment and requires the immediate opening of a criminal investigation to examine the circumstances and the conditions of the protesters' detention at the station, including the investigation and prosecution of police officers involved in the violence," Abdallah attorneys wrote in their complaint. Sharaf explained that the witness and victim accounts of police brutality inside the Israeli regime police station describe activity deemed torturous under international law. "What we have seen in the police station is that instead of investigating the people, the police would beat them up. The police deny the detainees in need of medical attention. That medical attention make them sign false affidavits as a condition to get medical attention. When this treatment is directed at detainees, it may amount to torture according to international law. Torture is defined under international law as intentionally inflicting severe pain or suffering in order to obtain a confession or information, intimidate or coerce the individual, or as punishment for alleged offenses. Torture is illegal and considered a war crime." In a statement to Min Press News, the Zionist regime police said, "We emphasize that an investigation branch officer contacted the director of detention on behalf of the public defender's office and requested the presence of defense attorneys at the station. And accordingly, when the detainees arrived at the station, two defense attorneys were present to advise them. Unfortunately, some of the lawyers complaining about the appeal were at the entrance to the station, tried to create provocations on the spot. Notwithstanding the foregoing, they were periodically allowed to enter the station and tour the facility in order to prove that the detainees were being treated properly." The police spokesperson also noted that medical staff was present at the station and detainees in need of medical care were promptly treated.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the All-Beneficent, the All-Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. I'm Atta, the host of this program. This is Viewpoints. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, and we want to discuss another important topic regarding the speeches and the addresses of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, Brother Ali Alavian and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome. And Brother Ali Alavian, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaykum assalam. Thank you for having me here.
So today we want to talk about the important concept of adala, or justice, in the thoughts and the speeches of Ayatollah Khamenei. And we know that when founding the Islamic Revolution of Iran and the Islamic Republic of Iran, the late Imam Khomeini's main slogan, one of the main slogans, was establishing justice in the society. First of all, Sayyid Mohsen, let's talk about justice in terms of the, as established by Imam, by the late Imam Khomeini, Rahmatullah. What does he mean exactly by justice on that time?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As we know that Imam Khomeini was an Islamic scholar, he meant justice as what has come in the Quran. Obviously, his main slogan was based on the Quranic teachings, and the revolution was an Islamic revolution. So therefore, when he is describing justice, or when he talks about justice, it is same as what obviously has come in the Quran and in the Islamic texts. In many places of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, اِعْدِلُوا وَرْإِقْسِطُوا. The word قِسْط and عَدْل, these both wordings are been used like in the Quranic text. Some of the scholars, they have come, they came with the, and they said like it's different in meaning.
That's right.
When they're used together.
Okay.
For example, like قِسْط is more refer towards a justice which is in monetary terms.
The transaction.
Transactional justice. Right. Or economical, we can say.
Yes.
And when it is i'dilu or adl, it is more social or, you know, individual.
That's right.
Non-transactional.
Yes.
Aspect. So Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, when he came up with the revolution, and he did that revolution, the main, we can say, objective was to bring justice amongst the people, which is in the Quran. The justice which Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has brought in his time. Obviously, at that time, there were these issues as well.
That's right.
Now, when we go towards the definition of the justice, there are different definitions. The Supreme Leader also refers to two of those definitions. One is وَزْعُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ بِمَوْضِعِ. Means that putting everything in its place.
In its right, proper place.
In its right, proper place.
That's right.
There is another definition that you need to give haq to zi haq.
That's right.
The one who possessed the right, you need to give right to it.
Mm-hmm.
So these both definitions are used in the Islamic context, especially in the speeches of the Supreme Leader and Imam Khomeini, late
right.
Imam Khomeini.
Okay. Thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen. And let's, Brother Ali, get to you. Is your definition of justice and adala in the context of Islamic Republic of Iran the same as Sayyid Mohsen gave, or you have a different definition, brother?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam Muhammad and his purified progeny. Look, brother, justice and equality was the last, let's say, objective and goal in an Islamic terminology and, let's say, in Islamic worldview. You see, even in the missions of the Ahlul Bayt and the Imams, or let's say the Prophets earlier than them, they have all come to create a scene of justice for the people and to invite people to the justice. In case we see that even the last Imam, the last Savior, is coming to يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا. That's
right.
He's coming to increase justice in the scene of the earth. So this, Islamically speaking, this is the goal of all religions, Abrahamic and divine religions. to spread justice on the scene of the earth and come to and bring equality to the whole humankind. But as
so
for the definition,
justice and equality are the same, you mean?
If we translate them, musavat and adala, no, they are not the same. But in case we both actually define them as adala, yeah, they are the same.
Because you know that the foreigners and the non-Muslims are criticizing somehow some of the laws and Islamic rulings in Islam for not observing equality between men and women.
Since there is no, as for the terms, we cannot find a clear-cut, let's say, equivalent in English for adala.
Okay.
So we are using both justice and equality to come to the same meaning.
But justice is a broader concept, isn't it?
Very true.
Okay.
And then as for the definition that you mentioned and pinpointed, the same definition that was saying that it's true. It's to actually make the rewards and punishments in the right order as they deserve it to be. For example, if something, this is one definition actually, or there are other definitions to put everything in its right place,
to give anyone
its or his or her right in the same way that he or she deserves. Mm-hmm. So these are the translations, these are the definitions of the term by itself. But what is more important than the definition is implementation of adala. This is something that has been the controversial issue in the course of history among the different schools of thought and also religions. Okay. But in Islam, it's a key concept and it requires to be talked about and to dive into it to see what exactly we mean by adala and what are the functions of justice or adala. These are the concepts that we need to talk about them in depth.
The rahbar, Imam Khamenei, has also mentioned that adala is something separate from musawat. You do not get this mistaken.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the musawat will equal oppression, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and adala and musawat are two different concepts. And another case is that sometimes, you know, the term in terms of the justice, we want to consider everyone equal, but the people all across the world have different talents and potentials.
Very true.
So if you're gonna give them their own proper right, it would be according to the potential and the right and the, you know, we can say the talent that they have and they show. If you're gonna consider all of them the same, then it would be sometimes zulm or oppression against some of them. Thank you.
Islam by itself is against this equality in the definition of these two terms, let's say musawat and adala. Look, sometimes, as you rightly mentioned, musawat, seeing both and everyone in this creation or every existence in this universe to be equal like other or to be in a state of musawat. So it is, as you said rightly, is oppression.
That's right.
A very simple, before you move to respected guests of the show, a simple example of it is to check to look at the rights of man and woman in this universe. Mm-hmm. If we look at them equally, so it is sort of oppression to one side, definitely. And this was an old, old quarrel among the different schools of thought. And I think it's quite clear to see that justice is important rather than musawat.
That's right. Okay, Sayyid Mohsen. Am I true when you are considering all the people the same, you are not observing justice towards them, especially when defined in terms of Islamic, you can say terminology, Islamic rulings or something like that? Is it true?
That's right. And this is because in musawat or inequality, sometimes we are being unjust. We are being unjust.
You are acting unjustly.
Yes,
that's right.
You know, for example. If there is a guy who has a motorbike, for example, I'm just giving an example, and he earns through that motorbike, he's doing a delivery, I don't know, pizza delivery or anything, and all savings that he had, he has spent on this motorbike.
That's right.
And tomorrow, for example, if someone comes and burns his motorbike or, you know, harms it, he has taken his job from him. He cannot do anything else.
Yes.
Because that was the only source.
The means of earning, that's why.
Whereas there is a person who is rich who has, like, I don't know, 10 bikes, or, you know, we have these kind of people having 10 cars and bikes.
Collections
if someone
of the
comes
cars
and harms one of his motorbikes, it's not equal to, you know, on equal basis, it says, like, I burn his bike and his bike, like the two people.
No.
If the hakim or if the, you know,
the ruler.
The ruler comes and he says, I need to collect all the motorbikes, like, or I need to take one motorbike from every single family, for example.
That's right.
We need to use it for the government or for any use. If he's taking that bike from that person whose only source of income is that bike,
that's right.
He has taken everything from him. Mm-hmm. Whereas the one who has 10 bikes, if he takes one out from him, it's not going to harm him. So sometimes equality is basically being unjust.
But still, we cannot do oppression towards the rich guy. You know, say taking one bike out of the 10, because you have 10, so I have to take one.
I just gave an example. I just gave an example. For example, in some cases, for example, in war or anything, the government announces we need motorbikes, for example.
Okay.
And every single family should give a motorbike to the government because it needs it for a specific use.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, even, we need to justly work. The government should justly work.
Okay.
I just gave an example of motorbike. Maybe it's a tax. Maybe it's a money. Mm-hmm. It can be anything.
That's right.
So basically, in the inequality, obviously, there is an injustice. In Islam, why it is very important to talk about justice? It's because being a Shia, we believe in five principles. Number one is Tawheed, which is monotheism.
That's
Allah
right.
is one.
That's right.
The second is Adil. Allah is Adil. He is just. Now, how important is this, the term just and being justice or being just is important is that when we look at the Islamic, you know, practices, even the statuses or the, you know, ranks in Islam, we always see justice to be one of the conditions.
That's right.
For example, for the Imamul Jama'ah, the one who leads the prayer, he must be adil, he must be a just person. Mujtahid, the one who gives fatwa, must be adil. Katib, the one we have the verse in the chapter Baqarah, in which it is said when you have you give a loan to someone, get a person to write an agreement between you two, and that person should be adil.
That's right.
Should write it according to the adil or justice.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you look at the hakim, the ruler of the Islamic state, he must be a just adil. He must be just. Then you look at the judge himself. The judge must be adil because when he gives the rulings or, you know, he makes a decision.
He issues a decision, that's right.
Or a statement or sentence.
Okay.
If he wants to sentence someone, it should be according to the justice. So justice has roots in every single part of life. Even in the family, it is also.
And there is a topology given by Rahbar that talks about, we can say, justice in different arenas, the religious adala, the personal one, the social one, the political one, the economic one. Okay, these are different topologies that are given by the supreme leader of Iran. I think we have to discuss them one by one.
Yes.
What we do not have time for this session. Let's get to them, inshallah, one by one, upcoming session of the program. For example, what does it mean by economic justice or social justice or political justice? In terms of the Islamic concept, it was very kind of you, Sayyid Mohsen-Nawi, and Brother Ali Alavian.
Thank you
very much for your presence in this episode of the program, Viewpoints. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode. You can visit our website at parstoday.com/EN, Call of Islam page, also a YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
You've always been so say, please save me, accept al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها شفاعة أنا لها.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners. We present you a saying worth contemplating from the Holy Prophet's eighth infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Riza, peace be upon him, when his murderer-to-be, the Abbasid Caliph Ma'mun, deceitfully offered him the caliphate. If the caliphate is really yours, you have no right to give to others what God has given you. And if it does not belong to you, how can you give it to others what is not yours in the first place?
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The Light.
People around the world have their unique ways of celebrating events. In Nepal, farmers and locals celebrate National Paddy Day by jumping into muddy fields. The festival marks the start of the annual rice planting season. People joyfully sing and play in muddy water. Another popular tradition on this day is eating a mixture of curd and beaten rice with friends and family. The fun event usually draws many tourists from around the world. However, this year, it is limited only to locals due to the coronavirus pandemic. Rice is the most important crop in Nepal and accounts for almost half of the cereal production in the country. Pangolins might look tough with their scaly armor, but they are in fact highly vulnerable animals. A Vietnamese man is dedicating his time and energy to making sure they are safe. 39-year-old Thai has been protecting pangolins since his boyhood when he saw one brutally hunted by his neighbors. The bitter experience inspired him to find or make a group devoted to saving the endangered species. Save Vietnam's Wildlife has over 60 staff and has so far rescued around 1,600 pangolins. Thai says seeing the rescued animals return to nature is the best part of his job.
The most wonderful moments in the lives of all of the conservationists at my center are the moments that we witness the rescued pangolins getting out from the transportation cages and slowly walking into the forest, because the forest is their true home, where they can have the joy of living their lives in their own way.
Pangolins are one of the most trafficked mammals in the world. Their number have fallen due to illegal trade. The animals, now critically endangered, could once be found in the rainforests across Asia and Africa. They use their sticky tongues to hunt for ants, termites, and similar prey. The pandemic has not stopped this British musician from holding live concerts. His audience is a very special group in Danish rural areas. Jacob Shaw, a university professor, is the man behind this experiment. He says playing for the animals has been his second best option after the pandemic forced the cancellation of many events and social gatherings. Shaw says the performance for the cows has been so rewarding that he wants to continue it even after public spaces are reopened. He says the cows seem to enjoy classical music very much.
They react differently to different pieces. We played something that was slightly more upbeat, a little bit more modern, and a lot of them didn't like it and they went away. And I think that the type of pieces which is closer to their voice, closer to their mooing, which could be similar actually to a cello, which is why it's so successful with them, they prefer that.
The cello player is sometimes accompanied by other musicians. They say the experience has helped them practice and also relieve some of the stress of a live concert.
Science fiction has turned into reality, or at least that's how the developer of Aircar describes his vehicle when it transforms from a car into an aircraft in less than 3 minutes. This prototype flying car was designed and created by Slovakian transportation professor Stefan Klein. He says that his design opens a new category in transportation. The dual-mode vehicle composed a 35-minute flight in this week between the two Slovakian airports. So far, it has completed more than 40 hours of test flight. Aircar can fly about 1,000 kilometers at a height of over 2,500 meters. That makes the dream of those who wish to ride above traffic closer to reality. A digital art museum in the Japanese capital has unveiled a stunning exhibition offering visitors an intimate interaction with nature. One of the attractions of the show is Floating Flower Garden, which is a mirrored room filled with 13,000 orchid flowers. The orchids are dangling from the ceiling and move up once a visitor walks through in the space and approaches the flowers. Once the visitors move past, the flowers descend again. This makes the visitors able to freely wander around the three-dimensional flower mass space. Tokyo-based digital art group Team Lab that runs this exhibition says the artwork is designed to help people think that they are part of the garden.
This is an installation filled with these flowers. As you walk towards them, the flowers slowly move up to create an area of space for you. Surrounded so completely by flowers, you feel immersed in the flowers, the garden itself.
There are several other installations in this exhibition. One is an outdoor piece filled with Ovid sculptures that light up after the sun sets. Visitors can see 61 different colors of light in this section. When one of the Ovids tipped over by a hand or the wind, it emits a sound. The sound is then echoed by the surrounding Ovids. In a school in the Ukrainian capital, kids learn about saving the environment and helping those in need through a creative way. Students put plastic bottles in a machine as currency. Then they can select what they would like to spend money on. Buying food for stray animals and donating to children with special needs are some of the choices. The project was first launched in a mall in Kiev a few months ago. Afterwards, the designers found out that children were the most frequent users of this machine.
A child drops a bottle inside and sees an immediate result. It brings joy and happiness, and everyone is excited and wants the project to thrive.
The founders seek to install more and more machines in schools across Ukraine to raise environmental awareness among younger generations. Since the start of the project in October last year, over 5 tons of plastic has been collected from 6 machines.
India is known not only for its cultural diversity, but also for a vibrant assortment of uncountable dishes. Butter chicken is the only one delight you wouldn't like to miss while visiting Indian restaurants, especially if it is prepared by a celebrity chef like Saransh Goyla. Goyla's coal-fired oven is now sending a mouth-watering scent through India's commercial hub, Mumbai, as the young chef takes a break from COVID-19 relief efforts and resumes work. He is the one who established the first global butter chicken brand and authored the acclaimed food travelogue, India on My Platter. But with the coronavirus forcing people into isolation, his networks were also hit. So Goyla launched a non-profit platform called COVID Meals for India in April to connect thousands of volunteer home cooks and frontline workers.
The pandemic had a large impact on our business. Having said that, Goyla Butter Chicken from the start was always focused on deliveries and takeaway. So in that sense, our loss of revenue and a loss of business was slightly lesser than an average restaurant. But a lot of my friends, restaurateurs who are in this industry have gone through an extremely tough time. The pandemic has taken its toll on our industry, and I think it has set us back by at least a couple of years.
Goyla found his calling early, winning a televised cooking competition at the age of 25, which led him to host a travel program showcasing regional Indian cuisine. His profile exploded in 2018 when he was invited by former MasterChef Australia judge George Kalambaris to be a guest on the hit show, with contestants asked to recreate his signature dish.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Graduation is an exciting moment for all schoolgoers, but the occasion turns more joyful if it ends with a celebration like Scarlet Sales Festival, which is held in St. Petersburg in Russia at the end of the school year. The annual event is part of the famous White Nights Festival, traditionally held in summer, with spectacular fireworks, numerous music concerts, and a massive water show. Normally, thousands of domestic and foreign tourists flock to the city to watch the colorful event. But this year, the COVID-19 pandemic limited the number of the attendees. The festival began in the 1960s when several Russian schools united to celebrate the end of the academic year. That is in connection with the symbolism of the popular 1922 children's book, Scarlet Sails, by Alexander Grin. Indonesia is dealing with a surge in coronavirus infections, but that has not stopped the people from observing the Yatnya Kasada Festival. Thousands of people braved the climb to the summit of Mount Bromo in eastern Java province to observe the ancient ritual. They made offerings ranging from fruits and crops to livestock by throwing the items to the pit of an active volcano. They believe the practice brings blessings and plenitude and helps them express gratitude for what they have. This year's festival was overshadowed by the coronavirus pandemic, with participants required to adhere to strict health protocols.
China's space agency has released videos of its first Mars rover as it's exploring the red planet's surface. The rover is named Zhurong. It's now investigating a vast plane known as Utopia Planitia on Mars's northern hemisphere. The robot successfully landed on Mars in mid-May. It is studying the red planet's surface rocks and atmosphere. It also looks for signs of life, including any subsurface water or ice. The solar-powered Chinese robot weighs around 240 kilograms and has 6 wheels. China is the second country after the U.S. to operate a rover on Mars. A university in the Venezuelan capital, Caracas, has turned its roof into a garden and uses sustainable energy to light up its classes. The roof of Andres Bello Catholic University is covered with plants and 30 solar panels. The panels, along with a wind turbine, produce the 7,400 watts of electricity to illuminate that area and light 2 rooms in the building. The roof is now functioning as a self-sufficient and environmentally friendly open-air classroom. The proposal for the project was put forward by 2 students. The aim is to educate people about renewable energy and the threat of climate change.
A Jordanian woman is receiving high demands for the soap she produces. Why? Because she uses an unusual ingredient. Lara Altiti makes soap out of camel milk. She tours different cities in Jordan to find the best camel farms for her business. Titi uses camel milk as the major ingredient for the soap she produces. That's because she says it has rich benefits and contains more vitamins than cow milks.
The first stage includes weighing the soap, and I include different kinds of oil to preserve the quality of the soap and its therapeutic benefit. We need to have high foam and tough consistency, and we don't want it to be rancid. We place high importance on the therapeutic material that we add during the production process.
Titi started her soap line at home using a manual process and then expanded it to an independent workshop. Her soap line has now become very popular in Jordan. Titi produces more than 4,000 soap bars a month. She sells them both to domestic and international customers.
If you're a car lover, this story is for you. Over 300 classic vehicles have taken part in a retro rally across Estonia. The 1,000-kilometer rally kicked off in the town of Perde. It drew participants from Latvia and Finland. Their motto is Straight Ahead to the Past. The vintage cars participated in the event are mostly produced between 1930 and 1980. Experts say all the vehicles are in good condition. However, they doubt if all the vehicles can make it to the end of the 5-day rally.
The German firm's electric air taxi takes its first flight at a show in an airport near the French capital, Paris. Volocopter's flying taxi, which looks like a tiny helicopter, took off and landed vertically over the airport with no passenger on board during a 3-minute trial. Aside from its 2-passenger capacity, the aircraft also has some room for luggage. It flew a 500-meter route at speeds of up to 30 kilometers per hour and 30 meters high along the airfield. The flying taxi service would first be operated by a licensed pilot, but the flight would be fully automated over a period of time.
With respect to regulation, initially we will have a fully certified, fully licensed helicopter pilot just to fit into existing regulation. But we believe over time it can be much simpler to obtain such an operating license for a volocopter. And of course, in the last instance, we want to take a pilot requirement out and we want these vehicles to fly fully automated. So you will not need a pilot license anymore. You can just summon the volocopter, it will come and pick you up and bring you safely to your destination.
The German firm is entering the urban mobility market with high hopes of playing a major role in the infant industry. Volocopter says its objective is to have a service in operation for 2024 for the 2024 Olympic Games.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the manner of disagreement. I invite you to join with us. Today, Sunday, is the 23rd of Zilqa'dah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 13th of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 4th of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we'll listen to Chapter Az-Zumar, verses 17 to 18.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه أولئك الذين هداهم الله وأولئك هم أولو الألباب.
Who listen to speech and follow the best of it, those are the ones Allah has guided, and those are people of understanding.
أَفَمَنْ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ أَفَأَنْتَ تُنْقِذُ مَنْ فِي النَّارِ.
Then, is one who has deserved the decree of punishment to be guided? Then, can you save one who is in the fire?
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
These two verses have turned to an Islamic slogan demonstrating Muslim free thinking and selectiveness in different issues. They seek truth and turn toward it whenever they find it. They drink their fill of pure spring head of truth. They are not only after truth and good words, but also are they selective between good and better and choose the latter. This is the characteristic of a true Muslim and a true seeking believer. The manner of disagreement is the topic of this episode.
We all have our own thoughts, opinions, and values, which means disagreement can be pretty common, especially in the workplace. However, there is a big difference between just disagreement and disagreeing respectfully. The first will likely cause hurt feelings and only add fuel to an already tense fire. But the second, that approach can lead to new ideas and a much more productive discussion. Unfortunately, it's all too easy to get so wrapped up in your own beliefs that all common courtesy goes straight out the window. Respect goes beyond difficult conversation. Of course, being helpful and considerate toward family members, teachers, or coaches in our everyday actions helps all of us establish a foundation for those times when we might disagree.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin asta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with manners of disagreement. In this connection, we find that in the Islamic history, even from the early Islamic period, early Islamic history, we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed much tolerance regarding those people who used to oppose him. In fact, in the early Islamic history, we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, managed to get involved in some wars. Only when it was necessary to be engaged in a battle in order to defend the Islamic religion. Otherwise, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam preferred to advise the people, to invite people to come to terms with the Islamic principles. And this principle of tolerance and showing toleration was prevalent and highly influential in the around 250 years of imamate. From the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam up to the occultation of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. Now we find that in Islamic instructions, it's indicated that أَعْقَلُ النَّاسِ أَشَدُّهُمْ مُدَارَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَذَلُّ النَّاسِ مَنْ أَهَانَ النَّاسِ وَأَذَلُّ النَّاسِ مَنْ أَهَانَ النَّاسِ. The wisest of all people is the one who shows much toleration, much tolerance regarding others, in contact with others, in contact with other people. And the meanest of all people is the one who abuses people and who uses bad language toward other people.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light. Be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain.
Now, what are some smart ways to disagree with someone respectfully? One of them is using I statements. Which one of the following statements sounds more harsh and critical? You always come up with these big ideas so close to the deadline that you only make things harder for everybody. I see where you're coming from, but I'm concerned we might be getting too close to the deadline for major changes. Chances are the first one made you recoil just a little bit. This example is an adequate representation of why it's best to use I statements when disagreeing with someone. It's just another subtle way to illustrate that your disagreement isn't a personal attack. No, effectively, disagreeing isn't all about sugarcoating what you're trying to say. But making even this small effort to soften your language can make a big difference in how your message is received.
I wonder why you and me fight each other. Don't you see the similarities between us? Take a minute and see yourself in the mirror. You look like me, those eyes, lips you can't deny. Have you thought about why we look the same? Why we feel the same? Don't tell me it's by chance. Oh,
agree to disagree, betraying a noble tradition. The mujtahideen, that means experts in Islamic law, differed and disagreed, yet maintained a high regard for one another. These exemplary scholars were neither self-righteous nor dogmatic. One of the scholars said, "I never argue with anyone without praying that Allah may put the truth on the tongue of that person." He also said, "My opinion is correct, but the possibility of error exists." Yes, the differing opinions of great scholars and those who were versed help to illuminate the multi-dimensions of an issue and varying interpretations. This brings about a degree of flexibility that the law requires to meet the needs demanded by the vicissitudes of ever-changing times.
We allow people who disagree with us to present their ideas. Let them speak. Give them the chance to speak, to say. Don't shut them down. You grow bigger when you have the capacity of listening to people who criticize you, and you control your anger, you control your emotions, then you are a good person. Then you are a mature person. Then you are a safe person. And we have to be just even with our enemies. I know with our friends, with our family members, with those who love us, we are just. We are fair to them. But this is not a big deal. When we become just with our enemies, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "A'dalu an-nas," the most equitable person, the most just person, the most fair person, "Man ansafa man zalama," he is good to those who wronged him. He's good to them. He's fair to them. He's just with them. They wronged him. They wronged him. They abused him. But he is just to them. Therefore, he would not attack them unfairly. Don't attribute to your enemy things that they don't have. If your enemy is only a thief, say he's a thief. But don't say he's a liar. Don't say he's a dictator. Don't say he's fulan and fulan and fulan. Don't. Say exactly what is in him, not more than that. But because we, unfortunately, we humans, we become emotional. So if someone hurts me and he does something small to me, I attribute all the wicked things to him. All the wicked things. I use the dictionary to find wherever there is a bad word, demeaning word, I use it against him. And this is not good. You know who's going to be hurt in this case? We. Not him, we.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Wa tadarun.
That was all for today's special. So we'll continue this topic, inshallah, on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Until then, believe you under Allah's protection.
Ya Rabbi Ya Rahman, Shukran Ya Rabbi.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.